This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. A new novel based on a fictional family in Detroit is being praised by everyone from the New York Times Book Review to O, the Oprah Magazine, to BuzzFeed. It was a finalist for the National Book Award for Fiction. The title is The Turner House, and the author is Angela Flournoy, and she joins us now. So clearly you did a lot of research about Detroit and how it's changed since World War II. But the real trick here, seems to me, is capturing the family, the Turners, who grew up in the Turner House on Detroit's east side. You have family in Detroit. Your father grew up in the city. How much did that affect how you approached the book?
Yeah, so my father grew up on the east side of Detroit. It's in a neighborhood that's similar to the neighborhood that my book is set in. And really, probably just as far as the sort of jobs that people had and the schools that they went to, that is stuff that it certainly helped to have family in Detroit to kind of help round out the fiction and make it those things realistic. But a lot of the family dynamic is actually a hodgepodge of both my father's side of the family, my mother's side, and some of the adoptive families I sort of grew up in. So it's really the things that I find unique and interesting from all of those. Every family has a different family culture. So I wanted to kind of make a mashup of all of those cultures in one book.
The story captures a moment that I really appreciated, and that's what it must have been like for African Americans migrating from the South during World War II. Even working into the story, the concern about moving to a city that just a year earlier had had race riots in 1943. Would you mind reading a little bit from the Turner House book?
Not at all. So this section is about 50 pages in the book, and it is the first section set in the 40s, and it focuses on Francis Turner, the father of the 13 Turner children. A city had its own time and cruelty. There was cruelty in the country, too, but it was plain, not veiled beneath promises of progress, nor subtle when it manifested itself. Francis took in the high-domed roof, the glittering marble floors, and the multitude of corridors as he walked. One stepped into a place like this, a palace like the kinds that Abraham and his wife Sarah turned up in, he thought, and felt impossibly small. Just a dim light, easily blown out. Francis arrived at Michigan Central Station with a small bag, his only pair of shoes on his feet, $15 in one pocket, and a letter from a pastor in the other. He'd hoped for a different letter from the one he carried. It did not introduce him as a clever young man worthy of apprenticeship in the Lord's work. That letter and any chances of a preacher's life were gone. Reverend Matthews, I trust that you will be able to assist Francis Turner of my flock with securing housing and a good word at one of the fabled places of industry in your city. He is open to any work available. He and I will both be much obliged. With faith in our Lord, Reverend Charles Williams Tufts, Spring of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, Arkansas. Francis had opened the letter as the train thundered through Kansas. It was early morning, and the sky out the window stretched wide and black and endless. That phrase of my flock was impersonal, as if he and Reverend Tufts had not lived under the same roof, as if they were casual acquaintances. He deserved more warmth than that, a few words to lift him from the ranks of ordinary congregation member to favored, almost son.
That was Angela Flournoy reading from her book, The Turner House. And as I mentioned, the story captures what it must have been like for African Americans migrating from the South in the 1940s and 50s to Detroit. So was that part of the research, or was that part of your family's story working its way into the novel?
That was all really born out of research. I thought the novel would all be set in 2008. I'd never written a novel successfully before, so I was intimidated by too many different time jumps. I thought I had enough characters to work with, and that was enough of a challenge. But the more that I researched about particularly the challenges placed on Black people as far as finding like homes and home ownership when they first migrated in those years, really between like the 20s and the 50s to the city, I realized that it's really exceptional that any of them ever owned homes. And then it's sort of that much more tragic that what happens sort of on the tail end of that 50 years when so many of those homes became devalued. So that was really, I had no idea that there was a race riot in 1943. That was something that as I just researched about the city, I found out. And I just, a lot of, you know, that had to do with both issues of like housing segregation, but also police brutality. And in a lot of ways, wasn't very different from a lot of the unrest that happened in the 60s.
Exactly. I'm glad you gave that background because I think it's important to the whole story. In fact, the book really seems to capture Detroit. The Turner family is complex, much like the city is complex. There are not a lot of simple answers. There are a lot of barriers to success. The Turner family in Detroit seem to have some similarities. How intentional was that?
I think one thing that fiction can do is, instead of focusing on the numbers, I'd read all these books and it was really, you know, the statistics of who lived where, what sort of jobs that they had. And I just think that one thing that fiction can do is tell you how that felt versus how it sort of was. And so there are ways that I did try to pick jobs that are kind of typical Detroit jobs, and some experiences that I thought would both be universal as far as like wide ranging for people who lived in that city for the past 60 years, but also make it very specific with like specific memories and feelings.
The story of Detroit's decline is captured in a very personal way, as you're talking about, as the family tries to decide what are they going to do with the home as property values had plummeted and the neighborhood was struggling along with the rest of the city. How do you put yourself in the frame of mind to tell that story in a way that conveys the struggle of the family?
I think that one thing that I try to do when I'm writing anything is be empathetic, but also be fair. And so, as an outsider, I've gone to Detroit my whole life. I love the city of Detroit, and I have a lot of loved ones in that city. I am not from the city, so I had to really do the work of trying to understand just multiple perspectives, but also be fair and not sort of make anything look better than it was or sort of worse. And that is one thing that was the mindset that I always tried to take before I put new words on the page.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you visited the family in Detroit often. You grew up in Los Angeles. How much did those visits inform your writing about this book?
They certainly did, especially growing up. I really had really fond and sort of warm memories of Detroit. I always associated a place with I didn't really much visit in the winter, but I was mostly in the spring. So, it's like a green sort of just like, you know, it's like riot of green in the spring. And Belle Isle is just like all green and white and yellow in the spring. And so it's a place that I thought had like a lot of beauty. But especially as I moved to the East Coast and just lived in other sort of metro areas, I would tell people, oh, I'm going, you know, to Thanksgiving, I'm going to go to Detroit. And people would just be like, why? And it bothered me that people had this, it was like a shock that people had this perspective of the city that was so different from my own. And that was one thing that I thought, well, if I write this thing that's set in this place, I'll be able to at least a little bit help people understand like the beauty that is there.
You certainly struck a chord with this book. What do you make of the reaction you're getting from critics and from readers?
It has been surprising and delightful and wonderful. From the very beginning, sort of even before the book, I mean, the book award attention was just people emailing me. My first two readings were in Detroit, one downtown across from the DIA at the Scarab Club, and another one in a bookstore called Pages, which is off of Grand River. And both of them were just like full of people. And I was just really surprised that Detroiters specifically embraced the book. And that's sort of even bigger than all the awards. The thing that really has impacted me the most is when someone tells you that you got it right, even if it's just on the level of place. That's the thing that, you know, you stay up nights revising, hoping that you can do.
I wonder what people tell you they took away from Turner House when you meet them, especially Detroiters.
I've heard so many different things. Mostly it's like, this story, you know, is like my family. Like, this is my aunt. This is my uncle. And then also, you know, I hear people saying, you know, I can't believe you put that part about the mobile pool in there, or I can't believe, you know, put this part about some, you know, bar that used to exist in Black Bottom or something. And so I think really there's a way that, you know, when you're living your individual life, you don't necessarily look at sort of like the beauty that's in sort of the everyday experience. And if I can help somebody feel like some part of their life was exceptional when they didn't think it was, that's always really enjoyable to me.
Well, congratulations on your success, and thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lester.
Angela Flournoy is the author of the critically acclaimed book, The Turner House.